I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
This episode of Core is brought to you by you at patreon.com/coreshow today.
Your flesh was made to die. Those who believe there are only 7 deadly sins lack imagination. This is Core. Positioning me.
Gross. Pull those nipple rings off. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Core. It is Heroes of the Storm time for us to talk about Heroes of the Storm. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and we're back with the recently reworked and controversial, I might add, Asmodan. We'll get to him in a minute. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about Jim Raynor. We'll talk about this cool skin deal that we're right in the middle of. All kinds of stuff to talk about today. But before we do, here's a little thought for you. What if a new Overwatch hero was announced by showing up in Heroes of the Storm first? Who wrote that? Was that you, John, or is that you, Bo?
That was me.
Okay. John, I got this question for you.
Yeah.
How mad would those people be?
I don't know. They gave those people, as you call them, a hamster, and they seem generally okay. So I kind of think at this point, you can do whatever you want to Overwatch people, and they'll be generally okay with it.
Yeah. Okay, but here's my question that perhaps challenges this idea. And I'm not completely opposed to this. I think it sounds like fun. It also gives some really cool cred to heroes as the origin point for something, right? But
right.
What if you did that without any fanfare? Basically, it's just, oh, here's a new hero. How long, I mean, don't you think we'd need it for a while in Heroes to kind of flesh him or her out and show what that character is all about before Overwatch gets their fingers on it?
Yeah, the way I think in my weird dream scenario where this happens, I think it comes out and everyone's like, we're putting a new original character into Heroes of the Storm. Check it out. And you get this character and you're like, all right, this character's cool. Got a cool design.
Yeah.
Kind of neat. I'm digging it. You maybe have other people like, yeah, but isn't it weird that they're just in this game? People just kind of dissuade it. But you've got the little rumors kicking around, kind of like how people thought about Hammond before he was revealed as a hamster man.
Yeah. You know, like showing other like pictures of apes and then made you think it was another ape. But then instead it was a freaking hamster inside of a ball instead of an ape. I just like, I like saying ape.
Yeah. You're a regular Charlton Heston.
They're damned and they're dirty. But yeah, no, I get your point. Like that. Yes. Like it's a good point. But how do you do it in a way that isn't, do you secretively do this? Do you say like, oh, look at this new hero in Heroes, pretty cool. It's introduced from the Nexus lore and whatever. And then what, 3 weeks later, you suddenly go, and he's also going to be in Overwatch. Like, how do you handle it?
You put together a really awesome cinematic in Overwatch, and you've got all these characters fighting, and everybody's into it, and they're like, ah, and then things get very dire all of a sudden, and it looks bad. Maybe Tracer's going to die.
Yeah,
I don't know. People are getting shot a lot with very little, like, actual consequences, like in that original trailer.
Okay.
Still to this day, the part that bugs me the most. People just unloading guns on each other, and everyone's kind of nonplussed about the whole thing. But
yeah.
And there's a kid around.
Yeah, and there's a kid just watching.
Let's not forget the two children that are like, is this dangerous?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
So that's all going on, and then right when things are at their most dire, a rift appears and the character pops out and is like, you know, catchphrase, and then they do.
And then they solve the problem.
Yeah.
All right.
You're Nephilim. You thought you were so clever.
Yeah, it's your Malfiel, Overwatch turns guns. Out. Turns yeah. out it was Malfiel.
It was just Malfiel the whole time.
That's Asmodee.
I love that it would be all this time we've had Malfiel as a tease that he would be coming to Overwatch. That's great.
I mean, they have hell as presumably in the Overwatch, or the belief of hell.
Yeah,
Christianity in that world.
One would assume. I mean, even if you go, you could go pretty pagan and still get visions of hell. You got Hades with the Greek mythology and all that. I think you could go. You could even
it's
come
pretty agnostic when it comes to religion. I think in Overwatch. So, but still.
Pretty
in
much
a world makes... where Hammond exists, there is most definitely a hell.
Wait, do we not like Hammond? Or
I don't know how I feel about Hammond. It's see, like, on obnoxious? One hand, it's the best thing. On one hand, it's the worst thing.
Part of me thinks that John is struggling with a much more primordial problem here, which is his love of anime should be enough for him to be really excited about this damn gerbil. But on the other hand, like me, he's like, oof, really, a hamster? Like, I'm totally fine with it because it is what it is, and it is coming, and that's great, and the game's fun, and that's why I care about Overwatch characters, because they play well, and that's great and everything, and I like his mechanics. I probably would have preferred some sort of monkey in there, just because...
They already have a
I know,
scientist.
They do, but he doesn't have to be another scientist. He can just be kind of a crazy monkey who's real good at mechanical stuff and built his own little rollerball, and... It didn't have to be a gerbil, a hamster.
I think the part of me that likes Hammond is the part of me that's happy that it's not just another human. Because Overwatch, I mean, yeah, you can say, well, they have, what's his name? The ape guy.
Winston.
What's his name?
Winston?
Yeah,
they got Winston, so they've already opened the doors to weird characters. But he's kind of the only one. I mean, besides that, they have a lady that's blue, and they have a guy that's a dwarf.
Well, like they have robot people. If those
like out of fantasy mythology dwarf. I'm not just making fun of the fact that he's short. I'm probably the
what's
same
the what's the polite what's the nomenclature we're allowed to like it's
little person or dwarf now. Those are the two.
Yeah, but I mean, like he's literally here, out of Lord of the Rings a dwarf.
Yeah,
he just happens to have a gun.
Because the condition's literally called dwarfism, so people are cool with that. But you're right. Okay. He is a straight up, hey, get your axe and let's go fight in Mordor kind of dwarf. He totally is.
Yeah, and that's about as out there as they get, and then all of a sudden they're like, and a hamster! And so, I'm happy that they're taking the step, I look at him and I'm like, whoa, this is a jarring first step.
By the way, they're saying Roadhog in the chat is not human. Jimmy Two Times says that. No, he's a guy. He's a fat guy that wears a pig mask.
You know when my parents used to say, if you eat too much Kraft dinner, you're going to turn into Kraft dinner. Because I really like Kraft dinner or mac and cheese for you Americans.
Yeah,
I prefer Kraft dinner.
I do too.
Is Kraft dinner? You guys have Kraft? Okay,
we do because Kraft makes mac and cheese, but we don't call it Kraft dinner. But I like that a lot because it's a Canadianism that I totally support. So I would prefer people say Kraft dinner.
You eat too much crack a dinner, and you're going to turn into it. And to me, Roadhog is like his parents are like, son, if you eat too much bacon, you're going to turn into bacon. He's like, but mom, I like bacon. And it's just this weird genetic thing that, that happened.
Yeah.
Because he ate too much bacon.
I'm not ready to call Roadhog a pig per se, but I think he's a man who's eaten a lot of pig. So yeah. we can find common ground there. But
honestly, I mean, Hammond's fine. He's that first step into the pool, like where it goes above your belly button.
Yeah.
Like it's jarring,
mm-hmm.
but now you can have fun in the pool. Like it's okay. We'll all get through it. We'll all be fine.
Yeah.
But you're a little like, I was not prepared for this.
It's only his belly button though, right? It's only the only part of him that's really disgusting is the belly button. Everything else is man.
I think you're right? Still talking about Roadhog. I think what John's saying is when you're a little kid and you're getting into a cold pool, once you get to the belly button, you're in enough to start having fun and it's not this freezing cold thing. So,
but yes, his belly button is also
like there was an accident when the doctor was giving birth to him and really botched the severing of the umbilical cord.
He's just got like an Audi that looks like a little piggy.
Like that's explained through non-science fiction. Like,
yeah,
the butcher delivered this baby.
It's like an Audi butthole though, a little bit, that thing. I don't like it. Yeah,
I've heard that car was a failure coming off the line.
Well, wait, they not have a word
of,
for that.
Not a lot of love for the Audi butthole.
There's a word for it. It's like the prolapse. Anal prolapse. Yeah, yeah, where your butthole goes the other way.
No, this has gone too far.
No, this is true.
No, do not Google it.
You don't
want to
see it.
Doing?
You don't want to see it. Oh, why did that change? Weird.
See? Click that X button really fast. It was gross.
It's exactly really what you think gross. It is, and it's usually it's usually caused by like some serious like injury.
I'll be right back. I gotta go and gouge my eyes out and wipe them off.
Yeah, it's bad. John warned you. John warned you.
I like learning new things.
Yeah. I told them not to.
It is a rule 34 thing, chat. You're right. So okay. The point is
this. It's not porn I found. It was very scientific photos of a natural phenomenon that is horrifying.
Yeah, it's awful.
Don't Google it. Yeah, nobody Google it. Basically, picture those enemies.
It's serious. If you want eye polyps, look at the picture.
Let's just use theater of the mind here. Don't Google it. It's the enemies from Half-Life that pull you up towards the ceiling.
Yes, I mean, thank you. That's a good way to put it.
The good news is I've got inspiration for There'll Be Dungeons this weekend.
Yeah, you can totally do
it. No, I don't want that.
Here's the thing. That is a condition usually caused by a severe accident. A lot of power lifters experience it. Not a lot of, well, some of them, they overdo it. They go to lift a bunch of weight, out it goes. So it's a thing that you'd have to have medical attention for, all that stuff. It's not like some weird thing that's all, well, now I say it, somebody somewhere thinks it's all sexy, but
no, let's just not even double down on this, okay? The baseline's bad enough.
Anyway, we think that it would be neat if Overwatch hero got announced as Heroes of the Storm first.
All right, this is what I was going to get back around to. So I think you make a good point. Hammond kind of came out of left field. Why couldn't left field be this fun, cooperative event between the two teams to release somebody in Heroes, and then suddenly he's available over there, and you do it in a way that you mentioned, like a cinematic way, a way that was not just, oh, guess what, look who's on the PTR this week. Like, it would have to be, make some noise about it, right? Make some cool Blizzard-y, in-game-y, or otherwise cinematic-y kind of reveal. Then I think you could pull it off. But who is the question? Would it have to be like the Crow Keeper, or whatever the hell his name is. What's the name of the bird guy?
The Crow Keeper.
What's his name? The Bird Man.
Raven Lord.
The Raven Lord.
That's a real Champions of the Tempest character right there.
the Raven Lord, or the Dragon Man, or any of those people. I don't know if this is coming out right, just like a prolapsed anus. But anyway,
I just stopped thinking about it like a second ago. It's like a sunspot burned into my retina. I blink and I see it.
But these guys, they it would have to be something like that, because it can't be just another lore character from another game, and it can't be an Overwatch character because we don't know who it is yet. Or can it? Is that what you're saying, John? Like, make it a character that would have been over in Overwatch anyway, But to us, we, well, what do you tell the heroes people? Where do you say he came from?
He's a mysterious character in the Nexus.
All right. A mysterious Nexus character.
Yeah.
I'm kind of down with this. I actually think this is possible.
The problem is, though, they can't, it's, I think it'd be too telegraphed if it was like a human. Mm. If they had a human and he had a gun. Right.
Yeah,
it's like, no, but not an Overwatch. Yeah. Everyone would guess that the jig would be up.
Yeah,
you need to like put. It has to be like a larva, or I don't know, like John's saying, an animal or some weird thing that doesn't belong.
Like a larva.
Well, I don't know. I reached for the first thing and
larva. It was a larva.
I was like, oh crap. Yeah, it'd have to be something weird, like a Hammond style. You're on the right train of thought, I think, with Hammond.
Yeah.
I think he opened the gates to this possibility.
Yeah, yeah. The gates of hell.
Is it really just mutant animals? Because we're like, with the gerbil, we're like treading on TMNT territory with Overwatch.
I completely agree. In fact, I feel like someone...
That makes me think of the Triceratops people in the original Eastman and Laird comics when they... Pretty soon after the start of the run, they're traveling interdimensionally.
Yeah, that got real weird real quick.
And the Triceratops people were awesome. I thought they looked cool.
Well, who Bebop and Slim Slammer, what are the two bad guys?
Rocksteady.
Rocksteady.
Yeah.
And Bebop, they were basically hippos or something, weren't they? Or what was their deal?
That was a rhino and a warthog.
I've got the graphic novels of the original run, the first four. I don't remember them so much. There's a lot of Shredder, no Krang.
Yeah, Krang wasn't around.
And the Mouser, there was a storyline with the
Those original comics, they were kind of dark, man, those things.
Yeah, they were like, I mean, they weren't super gory, but they had like a sort of intensity to it. It was good.
Rocksteady and Slim Slam.
It was all a big riff on Daredevil and, you know, modern ninja comics. It was good.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. Anyway, point is, I think it's a decent idea there, John, and I think that if Blizzard's listening, we would hope that they would at least consider this idea.
They have long since turned off the podcast. They did not make it this far.
They might not have. I don't know.
Because they Googled anal polypsy or whatever you call it.
Whoa, what? That's a whole different condition. You don't want both of those at the same time. Anal...
whatever you called it, they Googled it.
Prolapse. Yeah, don't ever look up prolapse at all.
Now we figured out why they're not in the launcher.
It sounds like a weird, like, Steam indie RTS, doesn't it? Prolapse. The attack of the Zimzams. Prolapse.
Anyway. Sore muscles? Rub some prolapse on it.
You pre-ordered, so you get to play the prolapse chapter.
There you go. Ask your doctor if prolapse is right for you. All right, check this out. The Reddit art and animation Q&A happened. That's exciting, because I, you know, as much as we're into how the game plays, I am very much into how the game looks and feels, and I'm interested in, you know, that whole side of things. And so we got a bit of information here. For example, a new, new Arthas. What's BW models? What does that mean?
Brightwing.
Oh, Brightwing.
So, the new Arthas and Brightwing models.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I didn't know Brightwing was on the chopping block. I figured.
It's not that they're not on the chopping block, but they had had shown some art of an alternate version Brightwing with more points of, what is it, reticulation or something? Articulation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A few BlizzCons ago, maybe. I remember Samwise talking about it. There's always been a discussion around how Arthas model quote sucks.
Yeah.
And Brightwing has a higher definition version. And we've always sort of heard, not quite yet. You know, it's something we'd like to do. They kind of put someone made a comment just like, we want it to happen, but it takes so much work that we'd rather devote to other spots that we'll do it when it makes sense, but like kind of a stop asking comment in a way, like, it's a while out. Don't be sad if it never happens. I think if there's ever a big rework for either of these heroes in the works, that might justify them revisiting the models for them.
Makes me wonder why they rushed to do that murky change back in the day, and then they're just so slow to do these. Because I remember being in that meeting with John in BlizzCon 2 years ago, and Samwise saying, "Ugh, can't wait to fix that Arthas." Like, he was talking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised.
I don't think it's that they don't want to.
They definitely have an interest. But I mean, that's always the thing, is they're always like, yeah, we just don't know when's the right time to devote the time and effort to it. But maybe it's just the echo chamber that is Reddit sometimes, but it seems like something people really want.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, there are plenty of skins that I could do without to see these, you know, improved.
I think the argument is there's plenty of things people really want. People really want a hamster in the game. People really want new maps or new stuff.
Right.
So it's like not a question of
that. It's just priority.
You know, like yeah, because I think there are definitely people who want to change probably a lot of stuff that we don't even think of in the community in the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also in the case of Arthas, you can cover up for a lot of that with new skins. Like, that's less of a commitment in terms of what they would have to do to make him look better. It doesn't fix the model problems, but it at the very least redresses the old one, and that's probably enough for them. Plus, they have a ton of skins for him. I wonder if that gets jacked up when you change a model and you
get. They all have to get changed too. Like it would all have to fall into place. So the more skins they have, the more they have to change. Like it's just they made it sound like it was a lot of work. Not that it wasn't something they didn't want to do, but when stacked up, when they have their meetings and they're talking about what they should be working on, it seems like yes, it would be nice, but there's little gain out of it, I suppose. Like why not just release, instead of updating Arthas, let's just release a new warrior. It's just like, you know, we'll get to it when we get to it. People are excited about both things, so you got to pick and choose.
My favorite conversation that's happened in the chat right now is this one. Shit Thunder says, great name, says, I heard Fabio is the model for Arthas. Daniel J. Newman says, oh. And then he says, Fabio got hit by a bird on a roller coaster once.
That's true.
I love that. Is that true? He got hit by...
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I don't know anything about that.
I saw a picture of that on a random search. I was like, what's this? Fabio hit by a bird.
That's amazing. I didn't know about that.
Now, that's something you can Google and look up the picture for.
Yeah, prolapsed anus. Look that up. Oh, and you mean the other one.
Really hurt him. Prolapsed Arthas. He's bleeding pretty bad.
Oh, wait, really? Like hit him while he was riding the thing or what?
Yeah, killed the bird. Fabio's messed up.
Let's take a look here. I want to see what this is. Images of Fabio. Oh, geez, he's bleeding all over the place.
Yeah, it was a rough deal for everybody involved.
Where's the...
There's a video.
There's video of this?
Yeah, I think so.
He's starting to look weird. All right, let's see. Fabio, close. Here it is. I found it. Okay. Oh, he's even... Okay, here he is. He's riding with a bunch of girls, like he always does.
There's a drum coming down.
Yeah, let's see what happens here. Okay, they're taking off. Everyone's clapping because it's Fabio on a roller coaster. There's a stupid caughtontape.tv thing overlaid on this, and it's pissing me off. Okay, they're going up the thing. Does the bird get him on the way up?
They don't. It doesn't actually show the hit.
Oh, well,
it shows him coming down, though, and it's kind of hilarious. I mean, it's not hilarious.
Oh, here he comes, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's completely... What? Why him and not everyone else?
It's the girl on his left.
Her face. She looks like... Oh, my gosh.
She looks like she's more terrified than Fabio is.
Yeah, he got nailed or something. Wow. So how do they know it was a bird?
They found the bird's body.
I think. It wasn't just because he said...
I mean, what else would it have been?
I can't believe it's a bird, he said. All right, that's fantastic. Now they're doing it in slow motion. This is the worst idea I've ever had on the show. Let's get rid of that. Okay, great. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah, Arthas.
Arthas.
Arthas Bloodwing. Sorry, Brightwing, not getting redone, redused anytime soon, so quit asking. We learned from this that making skins is a different level of resource requirement depending on a hero. So, for example, Ragnaros has his special effects to consider, his weird roly-poly thing around his waist. He's got the fiery thing on the ground, all that kind of stuff. Just means certain heroes are more likely to receive tints and skins and ability recolors with greater frequency depending on those factors. Makes perfect sense. So you're going to see, I don't know, Jim Raynor get more flourish because he shoots a gun, and that's it.
How about all the Jaina skins?
Jaina too, right.
Yeah.
She just has to jump around and poke you.
But you look at somebody like Ragnaros and you think, okay, well, if they want to give you purple Ragnaros, they not only have to color the model, but every single fire particle effect that comes off of him and his big grown version model and all of that all needs to be updated too.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of work. You're even
thinking small too, because a recolor is one thing, but if you want to do Pastaghetti Ragnaros, you'd have to put a bunch of meatballs and noodles in the lava wave.
But wait, are you saying that you have a great idea for a new rag skin that's based
on... I don't know
that
it's my idea, but I mean, I've seen like a Chef Boyardee Ragnarok or something where it's like ravioli and he's gonna...
Shut up.
And that way, because he needs to stay red, and pasta sauce is red, they can't recolor him because of the other elemental lords.
I'm looking up this right now to see if I can find something.
I know they didn't answer my question, but I know I've suggested poo emoji Ragnaros with lava wave.
It's weird that they didn't just jump on that, though.
Giant sea of shit rolling down the lane.
I have no idea why they didn't answer that one. That's odd.
I love that, but that, you know, brown, that's an that's a different elemental lord. I don't know which one.
You got
but...
chat room's got the great name for him. Chef Boyardee Ragnaroli.
Yes,
the Ragnaroli's a great idea. All right.
You, sir, get an internet cookie.
This is fantastic.
Sasquatch.
Janitor Leoric is all but confirmed.
Yep. Someone asked, and they were like, it'd be a shame to not sweep him off the table. Something like that. They made some pun that, that I'm forgetting. But basically confirming that there is a Janitor Leoric.
I got a question for you guys. I found the dumbest skin concept for Chen Stormstout. I will now share it with you as I share it with the chat room because this is so dumb. Here it is in full color, everybody. This is I don't know what he's doing. He's got he's kind of redneck. You got the hat and the cutoff jeans and the flip flops, and then he's fishing. Why is he carrying a giant can?
Because he carries a beer can normally.
Oh, so this is his just giant beer?
Yeah, it's just a big, what is it, king can?
Oh my gosh.
An actual can of alcohol.
Yeah.
Just a redneck.
I like the fishing rod. This is perfect.
Here's another one you might like. Sorry.
I like the fact that his wife beater. Oh, I guess that's not the right way to say that.
I don't know. It's still, that's what we say. There's a.
It's not pulled down.
That's Liladin. So it's Lily. That's actually a pretty good idea.
I'm on board with that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That one's all right. Some of these are really poorly drawn, which is what it's drawing me to them. It's just making me like them. I can't find another one. But anyway, here's one for you. all right. This is so dumb. This is, what's her name? Zagara as a bee lady. So she's like a bee queen. And so she puts down, look, honeycomb hives are the creep. Flower patch creep, if you want. She's got her different abilities there. She's got a beanling. So instead of banelings, they're beanlings. And they explode into big honey things. And then look, she's all like a honey.
I love the flower patch creep.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I like that concept.
Grass and flowers everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. Anyway. I love crap like
you've
that.
Seen the Janitor Leoric, though, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at one right here. There's a couple of versions of it. It looks like
there's some kind of Asian writing. I don't know.
Tell me you don't want this. Sorry, one more. Sorry, audio listeners. This is just the way it is today. Look at this. Look at this chin.
That's from a Hearthstone card, isn't it? Like, that's a guy
that's
from
a Hearthstone.
Oh, is it
Meet
based on
Treats
that?
Of Gadgets and
I didn't know that. Well, they should totally make Cho'Gall into that. That's an amazing
idea.
Isn't
his name Honcho?
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait.
That's super Honcho. Cool. I'd be all into that. Boy, there is a surprising amount of fan art for ideas for skins.
Oh, yeah.
More than I expected. I don't know why I didn't think that would be a thing.
So the Cho'Gall's name is Don Honcho.
Don Honcho.
Really? Yeah. Okay, this is my here's my least favorite thing I've seen today. I'm sending it to you. And I didn't look at prolapsed anuses.
Okay, good. Because I was like, I don't know if I want to see it. We've been looking at some weird stuff. That's super good.
I don't like it.
I like it so much.
I don't know if I want him in a moving hot. I don't know.
For those who are audio listeners, it is a phoenix. Where his spider skeletal structure is just a hot tub with legs.
It's wood.
It's made of wood. It's
made
wood
of wood
finish.
Yeah, that is important.
Uh-huh.
And it's just got Phoenix as a Protoss just lounging in it.
Yeah, drinking a fancy drink. It's actually kind of cool. but I also hate it for some reason. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, but they are working on that. So if you were hoping for a Leoric janitor.
I was.
Then you're going to get one, John. You're going to get it.
Yep.
They say home screens will be basically 2D going forward. This is kind of a bummer, but I understand their reasoning. They said they took a great bit of time to develop and are being cut to let them work on game content. Took 15 people a few weeks to do it before.
So I couldn't tell if that was an exaggeration, but that's what was written.
That so could like, be.
Wow, 15 people a few weeks?
Yeah. I mean, what I wouldn't mind, this is the combo that you should do. If you're going to do the 2D art anyway, just give us some nice background art and then put the 3D character in the art. And I don't mean like try to pose it in the space. I just mean have it overlay it so I can kind of see what the dude looks like. Maybe it doesn't matter. It's just that you've gotten us used to these cool vignettes and now you're going to take it away and put it in a painting. It's just lame. But I get it.
How many hero releases are there per year? Let's say they mean 2 weeks and it's 15 people. And so that's 2 weeks, 15 people per hero release. If there's like 12 hero releases.
It's a lot.
Like 24 weeks of 15 people are tied up doing it. Make me another map with that time. That's fine.
Yeah, I
agree. In the grand scheme of things, if you tell me, hey, those people could be doing other things, I go, yeah, they could.
I'm just going to miss it. Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to miss it. You know, I'm not saying they should. I'm saying it's the right choice. I totally get it. It just, I'm going to miss it. That's all. And I'm also, I'm totally cool with like showing off more 2D art because I love that from Blizzard. So this isn't really even a complaint. I'm just going to miss the 3D stuff. So. Also, you can make an argument. I have a 4K thing I play on now. Mm-hmm. And when they're blown up that big and at 4K, you really see like when you've got kind of low texture resolution or stuff like that. And it's very obvious in those 3D splash screens because they blow them up. So the character itself gets enlarged, which means all their texturing gets enlarged. And it kind of looks a little bit off. Because more and more 4K displays are being used by players, it's probably an okay thing to sort of get away from a standard where that's going to be more noticeable. So
it happens with ultrawides as well. Like right now, the current Alterac themed, character select screen, how they've got the Alterac stuff on the side.
Yeah.
On an ultrawide, there's actually a big hole in the mountains, over on the side. Like it looks like normal mountains with just a weird donut hole right through the middle of them because it's doing some weird, I don't know, stretching thing.
Yeah.
So it looks kind of odd. It turns out you only see it if you have the ultra wide monitor.
Bo, look up Prolapse ultra wide and see what comes up in Google. Mm-hmm. See what's a good, safe idea.
All right.
It's the same thing you saw before, but on a really big monitor. Patrons.
Prolapse ultra wide.
Yeah. What happens? I don't want to know.
I wrote prolapse. Prolapse.
Yeah, you don't want lapes. Nobody wants that.
He's making a face.
Hold on. I'm going to do
I'm getting ultra wide monitors. Bad.
Nazer ultra wide monitors.
All right.
Yeah.
It's safe.
Yeah. Down there, there's some other stuff.
Links were porn.
Oh, they were?
But the image search. Monitors.
Oh.
This is very weird.
Yeah, links. We just want you looking at the images. It's fine.
There's a really gross image of an eyeball coming out of a head, and it didn't look like
anything prosthetics. That's coming out like that is considered prolapsed, whatever that organ is. So in the case of Junkrat or of Groundhog, what's his name? Roadhog. That he literally has a prolapsed belly button.
Groundhog.
It's Bill Murray, everybody. They put him in Overwatch finally.
No, I get it. And it reminds me. So probably I have someone I know who tells me that they blew their nose so hard that it came out inside out.
Mm. That's a prolapsed nostril.
That's a prolapsed girl. Mm-hmm. A nostril.
Yeah.
Prolapsed.
I don't think the doctor's not going to call it a prolapsed booger hole. I don't think. I don't think so.
I was reaching for the word. Sorry.
His name is Slam the Hippo. Thanks, Jammer. All right. What else? So there's that. There's more banners coming, which I think is interesting because we're all of the opinion that banners are perhaps wasted at the moment, but whatever.
Well, that came from somebody saying like, hey, banners seem like a thing that there's not a lot of, which is true.
Yeah.
They also said the same thing about a lot of the sprays and icons for, I mean, there's classes from Diablo that are in the game, but not represented in the sprays and stuff that you can pick from. So they said they're possibly looking into all of that.
Okay, well, that's good. More of that is fine. Let's see. Portrait slots in the loadout panel. So you could use different portraits per loadout was suggested. That seems like a decent idea. I like that. Yeah. How would that work? Wait a minute. So
when you just pick your mount and your banner and your voice line and your taunt and, well, that's voice line, banner, mount, spray, you could also pick your portrait. Because, like, you might want to have a, you know, when I play Chromie, I want to have a Chromie in the house portrait or something. And then when I play Diablo, I want to have a Diablo gonna get you portrait. Right. No, these don't exist, but you
man,
know what I mean.
Why haven't they hired you for everybody's catchphrases, man?
Pretty good. I'm Diablo, and I'm gonna get you.
Chromie in the house.
I don't know the names of the portraits.
Her well-known line when she's readying up, Chromie in the house.
Chromie in his house, she says as she drops dirt on you. But here's the thing.
Diablo gonna get you.
Here's my thinking on that. That's actually a great idea. The problem is right now they have it so tied to account that I don't know if that's a problem. Like, is that a pain for them to change that? Does that become, I don't know what that means. It may mean nothing, but I also like the idea. I even if I'm in the middle of a draft pick and I'd be like, well, I ended up a Jaina, I'd like to mess around with my portraits and say, ooh, well, let's try a different Jaina face for this fight or whatever. I see nothing wrong with that. It's a great idea. Good idea.
To release a series of portraits that are nothing but the characters doing bad selfies.
No, John. Also, no, please. Also,
yep.
Please.
That's yep. also a great idea.
I want duck face.
Yeah.
I want the little dog Instagram filter on Artanis. Yeah. Like, I want all sorts of things.
Yep. This is right.
You will live to regret this day.
Nope. I should do it.
You will rue the day when you said this. Also, here's an interesting thing. Lana Baczynski. Am I saying it right?
Yeah,
I think it's okay.
Right, close enough. I didn't sure. think that, like, I knew. Yeah, you got it.
Says that Stukov was challenging artistically to nail the character of art, animations, all that stuff to kind of just get it right because he is a monster with great power, but his character is one that has shame for his condition and presents as a human. That's fun to hear about those kinds of challenges, and I personally think they nailed it with him. He's awesome. Let's just all remind ourselves how great
the poster is. Really interesting, and I recommend you go and read through the comments and find that one, because usually you see the finished product and you characterize it, but it's always an interesting process to do that work ahead of the creative process.
Yeah.
Like, what is this person's motivation? What are their habits? What would they have a tick? And I never considered Stukov as someone, the word shame never came into it. And then thinking about it was just like, oh yeah, like he would totally not be cool with his affliction, and he uses it to his advantage in the moment. But generally speaking, it would be like wearing extra thick pants if she had anal prolapse. you'd be shamed of it, you know. And so, like, speaking of prolapses, well, Stukov is a walking prolapse.
Yeah, he's a walking prolapse. But here's the thing with him: he's got lines in there that all lean into that. Like when he dies and then comes back to life, he's like, oh, I thought that was the last time. You know, like, he wants to kind of not be around anymore. And there's something sad but also kind of unique about that with him as a character. So yeah, I like that they hit that really well. Plus, he's just great.
And most of the heroes are either heroic or villainous, and they wear that kind of... Right. Yeah, we like that they lean into it, but they're not all the characters are Illidan, who's, like, angsty and kind of evil but the good guy, you know, like, so shades of gray characters are always very cool.
Yeah, that's definitely Stukov in a nutshell. So anyway, go read the whole thing. It's up on Reddit. It's worth checking out and reading through that. Don't they have another Q&A coming or something else happening?
Yeah,
they're doing
more.
This is the total. First of three.
What's the other two, do you know?
The other two is, I forget.
Probably some systems.
You heard it here first.
Systems thing, or probably.
No, one of them is, like, it's the typical stuff. I think it's balance changes. I'm looking it up now. It's basically mechanic stuff with people go for. I noticed there wasn't a map one, which actually would have been kind of cool had they decided to do that. It is
ranked play changes and matchmaking. That's going to be the week of August 6th.
Okay.
And hero balance and design, which is the week of September 10th.
We've never had those AMAs before.
Look, I'll take whatever. I like that they're out there.
I like that they did an art and animation one. I think that's really cool. And I would, on this streak, I think Heroes has like excellent voice work, excellent sound design, kick-ass music. There's somebody, all the audio stuff. I don't think we barely hear from that side of the team and those team. You played last week the Orchrome Waste trailer on the show, and the music was, you know, somebody made that.
Yeah, you know, it kicked ass. They don't borrow music; they make it.
And with every patch, there's at least a new track in there in the rotation of what you're hearing when you load into the screen. If not for when new maps launch, like Alterac has all new music and sounds. Like, where's their AMA?
Right,
those guys are awesome.
I totally agree. Just for fun here, where is it? Rogue. I just got this from Blizzard. Hold on. Check out the Warchrome Waste. It's hard for me to say. Warchrome Waste.
Secret email?
Warchrome Waste. It's hard to say. I'm trying to find that music again because I want someone to isolate that guitar and I want to keep it.
Yeah, it's not in the client.
Yeah, some separate
so
thing.
I think it's just part of the promotional material, unfortunately.
It's so cool. Oh my gosh, it's good.
Yeah.
All right. What else? Let's talk about the July 10th patch. That would have been yesterday. Yesterday being Tuesday. We got all the stuff in. The reworks, which we were expecting for Asmodan and Jim Raynor. He is, his name now in the skin setup get up is Road Warrior Raynor. And what's Asmodan's thing? What do we call him? Big Fatty? What is it?
I don't know. Diesel Seeking Asmo?
Diesel Seeking Asmo.
That's pretty good, actually. I would believe you if I didn't know it was something
else. Something like that.
I have no idea. Whatever he is. Bagpipe looking Spider-Man. I don't know what he is.
It is Dominus Vile Asmodan, Hazardous Vile Asmodan, and Machinist Vile Asmodan.
Gotcha. Because the description we have in the note says Mad Asmo and Lil Ray Ray reworks, which isn't correct. Or Ray works.
Lil Ray Ray reworks.
Lil Ray Ray.
How does he get rid of his piss jugs? Anyway, what?
I think Dominus Vile is the overall name because there's Dominus Vile Asmodan, Diesel Speaker Nazebo, and Road Raider Raynor.
Yeah. And they're, it's not Road Warrior Raynor. Why did I think I read that?
Mel Gibson has a trademark on that.
I don't think it's Mel Gibson, but yes. I mean, I don't think it's him that owns it. But yes, they all look great. I think they're awesome. I got a chance to play a ton of games last night, Bo and I, and for a bit, Ryan. And that was really fun to play those characters in their new clothes. But let's talk about the reworks themselves. I was never really turned on too much by Jim Raynor as a character in Heroes of the Storm. Just was never my playstyle. I kind of got trapped in that hole. Oh, he's the tutorial character. He's two-buttoned Harry. He's only got really Q and W. And if you ever make E active, it's because you had to pick a thing way down the road. And he's just, you know, Joe Easy or whatever. I probably let that sink in a little too much because obviously he was never that. But I just didn't touch him that much. Got on a level 5 and then just never really messed around with Jim Raynor again. This change, though, feels really good. And he's no longer two-button Terry. He is three-button Terry, just like everybody else. Yeah. And I'm also pretty sure that there's a really good reason now to pick his ultimate that is the little ship buddy. What's he called?
The Raider?
The Raider. Raider.
We don't have a name for him yet. He needs a name.
Oh, he has a name? The little Raider does?
Little Ray Ray. I like Little Ray Ray.
Little Ray Ray. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's cute, but I don't know if it rolls off the tongue. Ray Ray.
Raymond.
Ray
Ray. Raymond, Ray Ray. Raymond the Raider.
We know he's Lil. We don't need you to tell us he's Lil.
He's Lil. So he's all up in there, and I think that's a really fun mechanic. It's basically like having your own pet for the rest of the game, and he's just sort of always with you, and you can choose to make him attack things or move away. He's leashed a little bit in terms of kind of his radius around you, but I think that plays out really well. But just the few games I played with him, I felt like I was playing with a whole new character, partly because I haven't touched Rainer in a long time, but also I think his changes feel really good. He's got a nice nice feel to him. John, did you get a chance to yank Ray Ray around a little?
I did. Although I'm sticking with Hyperion, which I know is me ignoring the new fancy, so it's boring. So I hear, you know, an audible internal, ah, but I still like the Hyperion. I like aiming that at structures and calling it a day. Yeah. But he's good. Rainer himself is really a lot of fun. My advice for playing against new Rainer would be this. Walk away sooner than you would expect. And that's how you deal with him, because that's the thing, is I feel like his damage kind of sneaks up on you. His range, you know, we're not used to it because we haven't been seeing a ton of him. Mm-hmm. We've been probably seeing more Hanzo than him. So, you know, the thing that I kept running into was people who stayed a little longer than they meant to and then had to walk away, and Rainer was able to keep on them long enough and they died, you know, just getting through the gate or something like that. So he feels strong. He feels really, really good.
A formidable carry. Bo, do you agree?
Not sure yet. Didn't get to play him much. Because I've been playing Asmodan.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Asmodan for a second, because there's controversy around that. A lot of people think he's broken and sucks now, and that no one ever wants to play him again. Now, I know there's always a lot of hyperbole on the internet, and people always freak out about change, especially if it's a character they love. But it seems like a few people I've talked to, you included, you seem to be fine with the changes, or at least feel like he's not nerfed all hell and back. He just kind of does things a little bit different.
There's a new puzzle to figure out, and Asmodan has always been like a quick match champ. And he's had his niches. I've played him in Hero League when Hanamura was a thing, and boy, was he a beast on it. And you do see people breaking out the Asmodans in Hero League. But generally speaking, he's never been considered a top-tier competitive character for the most part, and I think that probably will still remain true. But is he bad? Like, no, he's super fun, and especially if you're quick-matching with him, he's great. We talked last week about his stacking talent, that Q thing, yeah. Right? You got to kill minions with your Q, mm-hmm. and you can stack off of hitting heroes. Well, there's a talented one that I'm in love with, which is Wrath. And that allows you to gain stacks by auto-attacking heroes below 75% health.
Whoa.
So all of a sudden, I'm playing Asmodan like Rainer.
Whoa.
Like, tank's trying to disengage and like, get out of my way, I need to auto-attack this guy. Just like chucking my fireballs at him. Not even dunking, just like, let me get to 200. It's like, you know, Kerzi needs 300 auto-attacks to get Insight completed.
Yeah.
You just need 200 auto-attacks on 75% or less HP dudes.
Yeah.
And you're golden. I mean, Artanis was great to farm off of because he stays low with the shield on. I'm just like, you know, and I'm like, I don't even care. I'm not playing this weird side lane thing. I'm in there. I'm trying to get all the auto attacks in because in later game, the dunks do damage. Mm-hmm. You can still dunk. I mean, you saw some of the dunks.
Yeah,
Scott.
Dunks. We were killing it with the dunks.
After you had left, I went on a 4-game win streak. It was kind of weird figuring him out at first, but I started to get really... starting to get really good with him.
Yeah,
it makes me so happy to hear that, because I haven't played the new reworked Asmodan, but to me he was always that character that was like the curmudgeon of the team. It was like, no, I'm Asmodan, I'm gonna do my own thing, you won't see me, but I'll be mad at you through the entire game, you're not really gonna help me, but you will, or I'm not gonna help you, but you will hinder me, and I'll be mad about it. And I'm just going to do my own thing and leave me alone, and hopefully we win.
Yeah.
And that was kind of my take on Asmodan. Hmm. It was just like, all right, well, he's going to be around doing things and then typing angry text at us. And that will be what our Asmodan does and contributes.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking like, hey, maybe somebody who takes that talent might actually be in the team fight, wanting to be around other people, wanting to interact with other characters, is a real big positive. In my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Sylvanas effect, where Sylvanas, I mean, people are still going to play Specialist poorly because they want to AFK lane, but he's better in the squad right now. I've been taking the busy lane. Like, Asmodans usually take the empty lane, right?
Yeah.
They got to push somewhere in the top or bottom and do that thing, or take a solo lane. Nah, man, I want to be in the four lane, and I want to be stacking that Wrath.
Seems like something they maybe
I'm basically
wanted.
Rainer.
Seems like that's what they wanted him to do, right? Is stop being AFK.
Well, it's the one talent pick. The other two, you don't benefit from it. But I've been pretty much I settled on that. The other talents on the level one tier seem to help you get to stacks faster by doing the clear. So it seems like this third pick isn't fast because you've got to auto attack people under specific right. condition. Yeah. But it's surprisingly the fastest of the options. And the power spike reward, what it does is after you hit someone with your Q, when you basic attack, the next basic attack you do, you deal your annihilation stacks plus the auto attack. So if your auto attack, let's say, is 150, and you've got 400 max annihilation stacks, it's 150 plus 400 for that auto. And then he has a few other talents that let you... It's like Lunara, you know, Splintered Spear. If you Q somebody, or if you W them, then your next attack, auto attack hits four targets.
Yeah.
Well, he has the same next auto attack hits three targets.
Mm. That's interesting.
So there's this really interesting team fighty kind of auto attacky deal, and the laser, you can hit the laser, and that does Leoric style damage. It's interesting. I'm fascinated by his new rework.
The chat room reminds us, Danger Dynamis said, they pointed out in the Brawl of the Blues that damage from the laser is now at the end of it, does AoE explosion at the end of it. So
that's a talent.
Oh, that's a talent pick, is it?
Yeah. I haven't been taking that talent. There is laser build stuff. I've been focusing on the auto attack thing for now because it's the way to end dunking. Like, I just like dunking.
Yeah, it seemed like we were doing all right. In fact, for a while there, I was in a Zeebo because I wanted to mess around with the skin, and we had some really fortuitous zombie traps and dunks that were killing dudes that were laying waste, mm-hmm. and it was great. It was a really good feeling. And I was worried. I thought, oh man, we're too specialists in this game. That's a weird thing. We're going to end up with a crazy comp. And maybe we did one or two of those games where the game kind of shafted us, but the actual combo of those two characters remains pretty fun.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good time playing yesterday.
Yeah, it was good. All right. Well, there's Asmodan. There's Ray-Ray. Lil Ray-Ray.
Lil Ray-Ray.
The skins are in. They all look great. I'm torn as to my favorite. I think maybe possibly Nazebo's got my favorite stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't go in thinking that. I was sure that wouldn't be the case. I really like the new mount, the Rainer mount that you get with the bundle. Also, I just should say, I think the bundle was priced really well, the big heavy one. Yeah. And that made me happy because I think I shelled out all of $15 or something.
Oh, is that it? I might pick it up then. All I did was buy two of the Rainer ones and called it a day.
Yeah, it seemed like a pretty good deal this time around. Now, I had a few gems already, so maybe that helped me not have to go to the next higher tier, the 19, but it didn't seem too bad. But after playing with him, I just feel like he's got some of the more creative use of this this Wasteland skin business, and I think it looks really good on him, so I like that a lot. And Season 3 begins! Oh, man, I'm feeling that temptation to try to see where I'll end up. Now I'm worried because I don't know why I'm worried. I'm worried about decay. And I know decay hasn't really kicked in yet.
Well, it also doesn't impact you.
It doesn't impact me in gold, but there's something about it freaking me out. And I don't know why I feel this way. I just feel like if I go 10 games, I'm going to find out something shitty, and I'm not sure I'm ready for it.
Well, keep in mind, I don't know how much what you've done in Team League will inform your individual. Plus, they are now taking into account if you haven't played in a while, and I believe you're like me, you skipped this last season.
I did.
Which means I think you might be starting with more of a blank slate than you might expect.
Huh.
So I would say go in cautious. You know you're going to be somewhere between bronze and gold. So it's going to fall somewhere within that realm. But you know, I think you have made your progress in Team League.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you played a lot of ranked solo, right?
No, not especially this last season. I didn't even touch it. Usually I'll get some games in, but didn't care too last season.
I think probably it would still consider you, you know, you're based on your past in there. It would still consider you either bronze or silver for Hero League.
Probably. Last time I did it, it was something in silver. Yeah. So it's probably
but that might all be wiped away too because you took a season off like I did.
Well, Bo, are you climbing the deal? Are you going for it, or what are you doing this time?
I don't know. I played some ranked games, got a feel for the voice comm system and all that stuff. Life got busy, so I didn't really climb. I think I had under 50 games this season.
Yeah.
We'll see about this year. I always, I do want to take a good run at ranked modes, but it's the question. It takes a lot of time, I think. And I've been enjoying the game enough to play on the casual levels. It's, I haven't really felt the need for ranked right now, given that like the option to play with friends is always there. Yeah, more fun.
It's always more fun.
So. Which isn't available in Hero League. And I'm really, I don't know. It's going into team league is, it makes me a little nervous as a two stack. People need to be ready to, and signed up for that level of play, you know? And usually if you're just like, hey, you want to play, if you're ready, someone else might not be. So the conversation hasn't been happening.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm going to play, so I'm going to do the placement games for sure. And we'll see. Part of it too, is I know at one point I got a little bit dispirited because some of the reworks gutted my preferred pool and I just felt really out of the loop as to what to pick and play. And I'm getting, I have a better sense of things now, so I may re-enter. We'll see. Just like to get to Diamond. That'd be cool. I've been at Plat 1 forever.
Sure. I'm just noticing a lot of people I follow in the hero space who were kind of ambivalent the last season or two, especially because some of the problems they had where they had to pull things they had introduced and all that stuff was going on. And we're still not completely out of those weeds, but I've just seen a lot of people on social media that I follow saying, all right, today's the day I start my climb, and they're just getting back into it. So I guess that's a good sign for perhaps the health of the single-player Hero League ladder climb.
I would say if you're below Diamond, these anything they're adding isn't really going to affect you too much with the exception of the third ban.
Yeah.
And we know what to ban.
Yeah, that's true.
That's, that meta is settled right now for the most part.
Who's getting pretty first? Who's getting first ban now? Like,
I hear a lot of people calling for Chromie.
Yeah,
Genji needs the ban. Garrosh needs the ban. Tracer needs the ban.
Rainer maybe.
Maybe Rainer.
Rainer might be added to that list, but there's only three.
I haven't checked, but I saw chat say during our Rainer discussion he has the current highest win rate, so he might be on the ban list right now.
He might be. It's early. Rainer has never been an uncounterable hero either, so that's why I'm a little bit like getting away with stuff the first weeks of a new rework and things like that as people get used to. You know, get used to what's going on with your tricks. So once a little bit of time shakes out, and maybe he'll get tuned a little bit in the week. So I wouldn't.
Yeah.
As somebody who plays a lot of Warriors, even before his rework, Rainer could sneak up on you because you just didn't see him a lot.
Yeah.
So you forgot a lot of his tricks. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you get a good Rainer against you. And you're just like, why do I have no health all the time? What is happening? What's happened to this game? Because you just you're out of that experience of dealing with him, so I think, it could be a little of that as well.
I think Yirel also needs is high on the ban list.
Yeah, some people are saying
she's tough.
Praises.
She's a she's a piece of work. It's a lot of, it takes a lot of effort to bring her down.
I forgot to say it earlier, and I think it's appropriate. The new Rainer feels a lot like Sumuro in some ways because he's got that every fourth shot. Crit, which increases, and that also does some area damage and all that, whatever that's called. What is it? Get the eat the pepper, or someone snorted the pepper, or what is
it? Get the pepper. Give him some pepper.
That, I hate that phrase. But anyway, he reminds me of Sumuro. So he's Sumuro.
Why do you hate it? Let's unpack this.
I
need to know why you hate it.
I don't know. It sounds like something my dad or my uncle would say. Give him the pepper. It's like,
but that's like Rainer's whole shtick is that he's, you know, an old soul.
He is,
like,
right?
An old marshal.
But like, if I was at one of my little league games, I can just hear my uncle in the stands going, "Hey, Johnson, give him some pepper." Like, what does that even mean, Uncle Joel?
Yeah. But that's like Rainer.
Fire it in there.
Rainer's son would be in there being like, "Get in there, take that Zerg and rip off his fang and give him an anal prolapse with it." You know, like that's.
Yeah,
Rainer Jr. when he's in there, his trade will be anal prolapse. But
I feel,
got Ray Rainer.
I feel like I've introduced Bo to a word now that he's going to use a lot. I feel
like forever. It's keep like up. There will be dungeons, is like, and then it's going to prolapse. And you're
let's just hope I don't get creative.
To prolapse.
Let's just hope I don't get creative with my social media business.
Yeah. Well, he's.
When I really like something, I change my profile pic to it.
Oh no!
Oh Lord,
no,
don't
did
do
not
it.
Like it.
Yeah. I did not like it though. This won't happen.
No, you didn't like it. You start talking in its voice, whatever that would be. Let's not explore that. I don't even want to know.
He's tempted. You can I know see he it is. On his face. He's I know. Coming up with his face
He's
right
thinking
now.
About how that prolapse is going to sound. I have a pretty good idea, but I'm not going to do it.
I've got an idea, too.
All right.
I'm saving it for our D&D.
Yeah, session. Save it for TWDB. No, TWBD.
That's what you said.
Did I?
Yeah.
Great. All right. This is pretty cool. Staff writer Moon Prayer over at templestorm.com has compiled a bunch of stats from the HGC mid-season brawl. And it's interesting. I like these kind of numbers because, I don't even know how to apply them in my own gaming time, but I find them interesting. Most common comps were 2 assassins, 2 warriors, and 1 support. That was 53%, 124 matches played. Second in line to that was 3 assassins, 1 warrior, 1 support. And the highest win rate comp was 1 assassin, 1 warrior, 2 support. So double
2 warrior, 2 support.
Oh, I'm sorry. 2 yeah. warrior, 2 support. But 2 support comp, baby. Woo! Let's bring that meta back. That'll be fun.
Yeah. No, it was only 17 play games played, but 2 warrior, 2 support's pretty brutal. A lot of healing, a lot of sustain, deep health pool. I have to imagine that's a Genji for the 1 assassin. They didn't say the most common heroes in these things, but really interesting for the most part that the predominant team comp is the double warrior is what we're seeing, and that's sort of bearing out in our games right now.
Yeah.
Which can lead to a pretty slow meta. But if you like playing warriors, now's the time. There's that no specialists in these team comps. They're all warriors and assassins.
Oh yeah, no specialists in the top 3. That's correct. Well, in the top 2 and
barely any specialists were played in mid-season brawl, which was it's quite interesting because even Medivh have his time in the sun, or your Abathur will be not much in the way of Tassadar even.
Yeah.
So it's sort of an interesting meta. But yeah, it's if you're looking to make the solid comp, the one that is viewed as the solid composition, it includes 2 warriors for the most part.
Well, let's look at warriors themselves. Blaze, Garrosh, and Johanna are the top 3 picks. I can see Blaze in there for some reason. I like to hear that. Garrosh and Johanna represented in top 5 bans. So Garrosh and Johanna getting the big ban rates. And high win rates over 10 games, Anubarak, Leoric, and Blaze.
So. Yeah, interesting stuff here. This information to help us in our home games. If you're stuck up playing a role that you're not familiar with, you're like, well, what sort of heroes should I pick? To me, Garrosh and Johanna being top picked and also top bans means they are active in a lot of the games and are considered to be very strong for your team comps. So getting good with those guys right now is the way to go. I love playing Johanna. I always forget Johanna's powerful. I'm like, Johanna.
Yeah.
And then I pick it and I never regret it.
She's great.
so she's, Garrosh is a little weird. You have to be good with the throw. He's a higher challenge. So if that's, you're looking for something less challenging, Johanna is like solid.
Yeah.
Hard to use.
A good Garrosh makes me want to never play the game again when I play versus them. They piss me off so bad. Genji Hanzo.
How do you feel about Junkrat?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we've had some games where Junkrat has been the bane of your existence.
Junkrat has been tilting, John. And often John gets, if something's happy, doesn't like, you're gonna hear about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if it's irritating on the end of team, but never, it's not a hero. It's not very often there is a hero that he is maligned by.
It's been since Nova was the last time you really had a bunch of vocal things to say.
Back in the you stepped outside your tower and now you're just dead because you took 2 steps too far away from it.
He didn't like having Medivh on his own team. That would be the last hero he was tilted. An enemy team thing. It was an ally team thing.
And then he played him and really was good with him naturally. Like suddenly John's like a perfect Medivh player. And so I haven't heard so much Medivh complaining, but yeah, like in the case of Junkrat, I have to agree. He's a pain in the ass. He's just a chaos machine.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think, frequently I'm playing, frontline type characters. So I'm trying to be very thoughtful about my positioning and where I'm going and wanting to be in the right place. And next thing I know, I walk too close to a bush and I've been blown across the screen. And it's just like, gosh, freaking dang it. Or usually, I'm hanging out where it should be safe and here come bombs over trees. And it's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it too is you expect the enemy to disrupt you. Like you expect Alarak to displace you.
Right.
Yeah.
You expect ETC to power slide and to whatever, push you away. I can't remember what that is.
Yeah.
But the problem is he displaces you, but often it doesn't do him or his team any good. Right. It doesn't do it. Like, it doesn't do anything. It's just as right. It's like, whatever, let me hit the bomb. But these people move around and you're like, how does this help him? Yeah. But it sure is irritating to me.
Yeah, it's just there to annoy you. It's not always effective. Sometimes it's literally just to be like, and you're just, oh my gosh.
But the worst thing is concussion grenade, or it's concussion mine will very commonly knock you over terrain that you can't get back quickly from. So unless you can climb it or do some other fancy thing and hop over it, if you're one of those heroes, you getting back to a team fight is severely hindered by a lucky concussion mine. And I hate going up against that, especially when they're good at it. So anyway, there's that. What else here? We got assassin picks. Let's do this real quick. Genji, Hanzo, Li Ming, top three picks. Two guys and a girl in a pizza place right there. Genji, the brothers, man, always hanging out. Genji represented in top bands and top picks. Tracer and Maiev are most banned heroes. Let's see. Jaina and Li Ming was high pick rates for win rates. And win rates, rather. Thrall had a losing win rate of 27 games. Boy, Thrall fallen from grace. What's going on these days? Yeesh.
You shouldn't have cheated in the Mont Gras or whatever it's called.
Right. He shouldn't have palm squeezed Gary in the wood or out in the field, whatever he did.
I remember that story. I read it online.
I saw it somewhere. True. Had to have happened. Vala and Chromie did not fare well with low win rates, despite the fact that Chromie is still.
That's not to say that these heroes are by any means not worth playing, like Vala, Chromie, and Thrall in your games.
Right.
But just interesting that the meta has shifted. I mean, the meta is still such that these high burst heroes, high poke heroes like Li Ming and Hanzo, and high burst mobility, Genji and Tracer, are the boogeymen right now.
Yep.
I think the mobility on some of these heroes needs looking at.
Mobile?
I think so. I mean, Genji's ridiculous. Tracer's ridiculous. They need to be brought in a little bit.
I don't know.
If you look at what's really popular right now and getting banned and has good win rates and all of that, it is either people that are capable of getting in, doing an insane amount of damage and getting out quickly, is able to take stupid risks because they know they can get out of the situation very quickly, or in a case of someone like Maiev who does a little bit of that, somebody who puts you where you don't want to be, which is also why Garrosh is so popular.
Yeah.
So kind of those are the two things that are very popular right now, is quick damage out of nowhere and putting people where they don't want to be.
Yep. Which is a story of my life. Supports. Malfurion, most picked hero overall, 84 games with the midseason brawl. So once again, the old tree prophet getting lots of play time. Top three picks for support, Malph, Deckard Cain, and Stukov. Were your big picks?
And keep in mind the difference between Malph, first place with 84 games, and Deckard was like a giant gulf. I didn't write the number down, but it's big.
So by far, Malfurion.
Like, overwhelmingly, Malfurion is the support du jour.
Yeah. I don't like his new thing. I'm not really a fan of it. It's okay. Like his whole, like, you'd think I'd like it because it's Stukov-ish, but it's a little abstract, and I don't like it as much. Like, Stukov makes sense. It's like, here's a poopy germ, and you can spread it to your buddy there, and, oh, you guys are down low, I'm going to hit a button to make it pop for you. Tree Prophet's like, okay, I'm going to put a heal on you, and I'll keep pumping that heal by dropping Moonfire on these dudes. I don't know. It's obscure and weird. Like, why is the healing help by dropping Moonfire on enemies? It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's not lore sense. It doesn't make any, like, practical sense. It's just weird.
I think his popularity is because his healing is pretty good, but at the same time, he also does the roots, which is extremely effective with the meta that we have.
And the anti-dive. I mean, Twilight Dream, Genji comes in and you Twilight Dream. Yeah. You know, if there's an engage from a backline, you're there with Tree Prophet and silencing everything, and then they die.
It is,
and
good.
He's good on both ends of that. He's right. good as a counter to Genji, and yeah. he's good with Genji setting up a, hey, here's a good spot where we're going to isolate somebody, communicate to everybody, this is who we're isolating, and destroy this person.
Yeah. No, he's cool. Whatever. Puts the turf down, makes trouble. He's fine. It's Malfurion, everybody.
You are so bummed about Malfurion.
I am bummed about him.
It's like your darkest day.
I like him.
You loved him so
I did.
Much.
I was getting into him and was really, I was happy to play him when we needed one. And just the changes felt weird to me. And they still feel off, but maybe I just need to quit being a boob. I'm like those guys who have a hard time with Asmodan's changes. They just don't like change. That's
well, I mean, I'm just getting back to Chromie.
Right.
You were at Relationship Goals Taronda with him.
Yes.
And yeah. now you're at Relationship Goals, that dude who wrapped him in brambles.
Yeah. Well, it was Zach Zixarzees. Xerxes.
That's who did it.
Yeah, the bad guy in 300.
Yeah.
Who also was, he's currently a cowboy on Westworld, that guy.
Well, you got to do something to stay relevant.
Yeah, you got to pay those bills.
Oh, is that who he is? The mm-hmm. one that's all in black?
Yeah.
Was that who?
Yeah, your bandit guy. Yeah, that's Xerxes. Really? He was also Paulo on the Nikki and Paulo stuff that was on Lost that everybody hated. He was Paulo. He's actually just a little short, shrimpy guy, but Xerxes seems like such a giant badass that you just forget that guy could be that actor.
Was Nikki and Paulo in Lost? Sorry, this is like, but I'm curious. They met a really bad end, right?
They did. They were basically buried alive, petrified. They couldn't yeah. move or say anything, but they were alive when they got buried. They were dead.
Yeah.
Now they're rough. Dead. Yeah. It was a weird thing. That whole, it was a weird season. Anyway. What else?
Spoilers
here?
For Lost.
Yeah. Spoilers, everybody. Lost. That was a thing. Let's talk about, the in supports, Ariel and Rhaegar had poor showings. Just worth mentioning. Because I don't know why they had poor showings, but again, it's like Bo said, this, you know, this isn't indicative that they're bad characters, it's just in the big scheme of the competition, they were not.
It's just in looking at what's going on in the HGC, to sort of point to what's working, what's not,
right?
And even if they don't win, still that they're being played or considered at that level.
Now, here's the real bummer numbers if you are a big specialist fan. Top three played, Abathur, 9 games is all, Medivh, 5. That's not very many portals and birds. Four games with Hammer. You know, Hammer, the tank lady. I haven't seen her in a while. She's in there. And then you got this note that it's not a specialist-friendly meta, which we talked about before, and who knows reasons why. I mean, what do you think? Like, Bo, what do you think it has to change to make it so that...
we want them gone. This is not a bad thing. Specialist blow.
I played a game against the Hammer recently that I would like to scrub from my memory, so I'm all about this.
Okay, but wait a minute. So how is... I mean, I play an Azebo like an assassin. Like, I'm not really playing him like him, like a true specialist, and that's probably why you see him in a lot of games, certainly outside of this competition, but in a lot of games. What can be done? Do we make all of those heroes a little more assassin-like or a little more support-like and just get rid of this classification altogether and be done with it?
Yeah.
Wow.
So specialists we've established for a long time, apart from some sort of, and I'm trying to think of the exceptions, like, is Probius a specialist?
Yes.
Yeah. Specialists sort of have that moniker, generally speaking, because if you're not tanking, supporting, or participating damage-wise in a team fight, what are you doing? Why are you special? And like, there's like characters that favor the jungle, yeah. but they're generally assassins and not specialists.
Right.
Some warriors are able to. It's like, what are you doing? What is a specialist? And it's like, they push in the lanes good, and it's like, but there's other stuff that needs to be done. Like, we can have assassins and tanks that are good at clearing lanes that don't have to be specialists, and we get the pleasure of playing those roles and being good at lane clear if we need to be. And a specialist, if their strongest aspect of their kit is to play in the lane, then they're PvEing, and that doesn't encourage the sporting style of the game,
yeah.
Which involves teamfight, especially given that the slow match times in Heroes doesn't emphasize the laning phase. So if anything, the game design doesn't promote a strong laner because you spend not much time laning. So it's better to have characters who can quickly zip around, get jungles, who can come clear a lane, but then attend to the team fight or the objective thing happening.
Right.
So specialists are like what? They're toxic. Like it's toxic gameplay in a game that's designed. Basically, you're at your best when your teammates are keeping the other five busy and you can just mow down a fort.
Yeah.
And it feels unfair when you're on the receiving end of it. It sucks. And it's just like, well, I guess we just give it that keep because there comes demonic invasion and blah, 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 blah. They didn't have to, they didn't even have to get a map objective to accomplish this. They stuck a gargantuan in it. They just used their regular rotation. And it's like, it's obnoxious. Like you're sitting there and you're like, dude, I'm guarding the base. They're like, I don't care. I can, you can sit in your base and I'm still going to take out your stuff because I'm just good at it.
Yeah.
It's not like I, you know, early on, it sort of made sense. We didn't have a big roster. It's cool to have that kind of thing. We have like 80 heroes. There's no need for someone good at pushing in an unattended lane.
Well, City, that sounded like a, who made the fart sound just now?
I did it with my mouth.
Oh. Was,
but he did it in a real like magician misdirection kind of way.
Yeah. It sounded like somebody hacked into our call and made a fart sound. All right. Well, the reason, the thing I was going to say was what? The fart threw me off. Oh, Sidian in the chat room says, once upon a time, there was more to this game than just face smushing in the mid lane. I don't think that's the problem. The game has always been, let's go, ooh, we can have a little mini fight at the beginning. Okay, now spread out. Let's get XP. But the laning part of it was either cheese or slight advantage, maybe. Like I think I agree with what Bo's saying.
The laning part is not like in the beginning. The beginning, whatever. If you know, we've all played those games where Sylvanas, and she's the worst at this. It's not a good use of Sylvanas. But Sylvanas is in the bottom lane. You see, everyone's in the middle smushing. That doesn't mean everyone's in the middle smushing. And, and you see Sylvanas' mini map portrait trying to pick off a tower, like, I'm so glad I queued up. I get to kill this tower. Compelling gameplay. And it's like, I'm strategic because I didn't join the smush in the middle. Look at the depth of the strategy. And it's like, you know, like, come on. Like, you should smush in the middle because everyone's got quests they got to complete. Smushing is like mutually assured quest completion that we all do in the beginning. And if we don't have a quest, still kind of fun to get that early throwdown.
Yeah.
And laning doesn't matter that much in this game, at least when you're playing casual modes. If you're quick matching it, there's probably a rationale if you're trying hard to not throw the game from level one by giving up a bunch of unnecessary deaths and feeding your enemy team stacks.
Yeah.
If we're having a high level competitive conversation, don't, unless you're one draft hard early, don't go and kill yourself mid lane. It's bad. But it's not so punishing that we can't do it in a casual game and just have fun.
They have done everything they can to teach us and to remind us that the little midriff that we have showing every game where everyone goes mid and fights is a bad idea. We've had discussions where you get more XP from clearing a full minion wave down in the respective lanes than you do from if you get a kill. If the other team has a bunch of questers, you deny them getting their quest. There's every reason not to do that, and the players have unanimously said, no, but we like it.
Right.
And so it's just a part of the game at this point. And you even see it to some degree in pro games. They'll still go, they won't do it maybe for as long. You don't stop and go, well, objectives come up, and nobody has gone to another lane yet. But everybody likes to do it. Everybody likes to go just get a couple shots on in the mid lane and say, hey, can we make something weird happen here? It's fun.
Right. So I got to start stacking my Wrath Asmodan. I mean, the game I played just before the show is in mid. Muradin and Raynor went to go lane, and I was still in there like, ah! I wouldn't quit in the mid lane because I'm stacking Annihilation down.
Well, there was also, like, the fight in the middle at the beginning has another value, and that's the mental game value, which is if you quickly lay waste to somebody's, I don't know, Muradin, let's say, in that first little scrum, and you just wipe them out and no one's even level two yet, there is some mental destruction of the other team when you do that. You put them in a place where they're like, ugh, really? Already? Our tank is dead? even though most players know this means nothing this early, there's still something in the back of your mind going, damn it. Don't, you know, you don't get to come in here and it's like somebody scoring a three pointer in the first shot of a basketball game or something.
Yeah. You, like, you get to vibe off the dopamine a bit. Like, yeah, we got this.
Yeah. So I don't have any problem feeling. With that. I like it.
Yeah.
It's like getting stoned.
But yeah. So the long way around the barn is that why it's like specialist. If anything, it's less obnoxious to be all in the middle fighting than it is to have a portrait of somebody who's clearly just like, I'm the master of strategy. I found a lane where no one is. It's like, you know, whatever.
Right. You're right.
Play another game.
I think you're right. I think that it's weird that people think that that's a thing that they're doing and that they're blowing everybody's mind with it. Like, oh, yeah. Look, you guys, I found bottom lane. There's no one down here right now. I'm going to win this game. All right, what else? Maps. Let's talk about maps real quick. Top pick maps for Volskaya, 17 games. Tomb at 17, so technically tied. That's of the Spider Queen. Towers of Doom at 15. Infernal Shrines at 15. Dragonshire at 15. And Battle for Eternity, or BOE, or as I like to say, Body Odor Everywhere. not really. That had 10 games. So, any surprises there? Volskaya seems to be popular. That's good.
Yeah. Well, actually, what's notable about this is the map picks are pretty important because they are picked strategically by the teams, and some of it involves like Team A knowing what Team B's weak points are. But generally speaking, if there's a pattern of picking, it means these are preferred competitive maps. And John agrees with me. Apparently, his head is shaking up and down quite a bit.
I'm bouncing my foot and my hands on my desk.
Yeah, that's right. You're bouncing, so it looks like you're saying yes a lot.
Yeah. I agree with you, Bo. Everything you say.
That's exactly how it happened. Yeah. the top pick maps are for the most part, three-lane maps. Volskaya, Tomb, Towers, Infernal Shrines, BOE, not BOE, Dragonshire, are all three-lane top pick maps. Because three-lane maps... I'm sorry, they're just better than two-lane maps, in my opinion. But I think they provide more counterplay and opportunities that both teams perceive when they pick these maps because of the additional lane. I think if you're not changing the number of players in the match to match the number of lanes that you're reducing it by or adding to, that fundamentally...
Oh, I see.
Scott's getting bored.
I see what Scott's doing.
I'm not.
Apparently,
I'm not.
We've reached the end of the show.
I'm not. I promise. I just wanted to see what that one looked like.
You didn't see what he did to you.
It's
not worse
than mine. But anyways, audio listeners, Scott is playing with gifts.
I'm not bored. I'm just. I like to.
Yeah. I know. I'm just joking. But they're all three lane maps, and the only with the exception of BOE, which I remember saying last. I think it was last week or the week before. BOE is interesting two lane map because its activity in the middle. Takes some time and is dramatic and has lots of, it's just a lot of fun. And also there are a lot of opportunities in that map.
Mm.
Whereas most two lane maps like Braxis, it's like, I don't know, win the pads in the first phase or you're screwed. Like, it, you know, and Cursed Hollow has that similar feeling. Like the games are decided really early and kind of in draft. So I think this is reflective.
So what do you think about the idea of just dump two lane maps, just dump them, be done.
Well, BOE is a success on the two lane map front. Hanamura, I guess it's been was a two lane map. I think it's switching to a three lane map if our rumors to be believed. I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
But yeah, I think we do away with them. I think two lane maps are problematic. I think there are too many people, too many players on the field with not enough to do.
Yeah.
When 10 players are on the field and there's only two lanes, it's like the last thing anyone's really worried about. So you just get someone really strong to babysit the lanes and you do cheesy stuff. So like, yeah, I think three lanes, or we should experiment with four lanes. Where's our four lane map? I'd love to see what that looks like.
Oh my gosh.
But two lanes is definitely.
What would four lanes look like? Four lanes sounds scary to me. What does that even look like? Oh my gosh.
I don't know, but they play around with map shapes, so I feel like they could do it.
Okay. You have faith in their ability to pull that one.
Or a no lane map and something really different. All right. But that's
a no lane.
Not enough time left in this episode.
Stare at each other to death.
A no lane map. I mean, well, that's basically
we do away with lanes, but we have things to do in a map area.
Right, like a big jungle, you know, just a big jungle.
Objective-based game.
Sure.
I don't know.
Just a big jungler of some sort. That's interesting. Like that. I mean, now that you say it, now that I've thought about it for a second, it's actually kind of interesting. Well, we'll see. Those are the stats as far as we know them. You want to go check those out at templestorm.com. They have the complete listing, and you can find some interesting stuff there. Before we move on to an email, a note that if you enjoy this show, I have some really, really good news for you. Because on the weekends, on Saturday specifically, at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern, we record live right here at frogpants.tv a live D&D session that Bo is the DM for. John and I have our own characters in there, and we are joined by Kyle and Kristen, the Fergusons, the Fergs, and they also have their own characters, and it's a fantastic time. We're like 23 sessions into this thing, and you're really missing out if you're not checking it out. So if you want to go catch up, all the episodes are on YouTube, and they're linked over at therewillbedungeons.com, and you can find the podcast there if you're into audio listening, or if you want to watch us live, park your butts here on Saturdays, including this Saturday, as we have another 3-hour session together, and there will be dungeons at therewillbedungeons.com. Go check it out. You will not be disappointed. Okay, let's get to a quick email from Serim, C-E-R-I-M. I think it's a fake name, but who knows? Anyway, he says this. This is about episode binging on our show. Hey there, Core Hounds. Tree Scar here, Tress-a-scare-scar, that's his other name. I'm writing in for two things in particular. Firstly, the subject line is not a joke. I took it upon myself to blitz the entire podcast from start to finish via listening to episodes at work. It took me about 6.5 weeks, not gonna lie. As a result, however, I have not only taken shots at trying out heroes I never would have considered, but become a better player through your discussion of play around them. So thank you for that. Well, that's very nice of you to say. Secondly, having listened to episode 134, or just listened to it, I've too found myself captivated by Bo's mention of theater and directing. That was an awesome tidbit that I had not expected, and much like Scott, would love to hear more about that kind of thing, maybe as a side piece, like the Dear Martha letters. Thanks for all your work that you put into the show each week. See you in the Nexus. Tree Scar.
Don't tell Martha she's a side piece. That's
no, she'll be pissed.
Not gonna go over well.
She's not.
She's the main
that.
Piece.
She's the main piece. We haven't done one.
Who's your side piece? It's Valera, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, you get a little Valera on the side.
Sylvanas get a little undead.
Sure, she's perhaps get a little of the purple arrow.
Hey.
Thank you, Trey Scare, for your suggestion. We could do a segment called Bo's Masterpiece Theater,
yeah,
where we delve completely into non-Heroes of the Storm-related topic of the theater.
I think it's super cool, and it's a part of your life that I'm always interested in hearing about. So if we come up with excuses in the future on this show, we might, but maybe we'll do, maybe I just need to do one of my little diary episodes, and we'll just interview Bo about his theater life, and then put that up where people can get it. That way
I
you
think
can
that'd
get
be
it.
Good.
Yeah,
and
it
seems like. I also think, though, that Bo should write, the next time there's a hero rework, he should write a skit involving that character talking to another character, and we should have to act it out, Scott.
Oh, I love it. I'd do that. Yeah, I'd do that. Let's do that.
Whatever the next hero is, I write a small piece and we perform.
Yeah,
you perform it together, or yeah, you perform it separately, and I audio
no,
it.
No, we perform it together.
We perform it together.
Live. We do it live.
Yeah, we do it live.
Okay,
F it.
All right, let me put this in my calendar.
Okay, I love it. This is amazing. Hots
I'll
musical.
Talk to my PA. We'll get this sorted here.
I hope it's Chromie. I hope one of us has to do a Chromie voice.
I did not.
Well,
Bagheera,
Chromie's already released. It'd have to be an unreleased hero.
Bagheera, I
they
did
said
not
they're
say.
Gonna, they said they're going to rework Chromie.
Oh,
you mean the next rework? I thought you meant the next hero release.
It could be either. Either one.
Could be.
Whatever. You're opening it up for me?
Whatever touches your creative bone.
Giving me options is usually bad for you, John.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
He knows what he's doing.
But it's good for the listeners, so, you know, I will wear that hat.
Bagheera in the chat says, did he say diarrhea episode? No, I said diary. Diary, not diarrhea. Hey, Bo, do you want me to interview on my diarrhea show I do?
I didn't know you did a diarrhea show.
I don't.
But I am not surprised.
I don't do one.
Sounds like a one-star iTunes review.
And I don't. I know how you don't like cast. So I know it's not diarrhea cast or anything like
no,
that.
No, I hate putting the word show. Cast on things. I hate it.
It would be
show. Yet another Scott Johnson diarrhea show.
Diarrhea one, show. One star.
One star.
I'd go lower if they let me.
No, I think if they called it another diarrhea episode, they'd give it 2 stars and you'd be left to wonder why.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love that idea.
I hated the content, but the audio quality was
great. Subject line, diarrhea show. Thanks for your email, Treescar or Truscar, however you say your name. core@heroesforyou.com is the email address that he or she used. I assume it's a he, but I don't know. I have no idea. I don't see gender. I don't see color. I don't see any differences. We're all just one big homogenous. Yeah, I do see those things. I see them.
But you're usually the first to point them out, too, as a matter of fact.
I can't believe I didn't think of this. The Sasquatch in the chat says there will be diarrhea. This is a perfect TWBD reuse. Yep. Very nicely done. All right. Send us your emails. We'd love them. Again, it's core@heroesforyou.com, or you can go right to the site at heroesforyou.com and click on the contact link. That works just as well. We also do show notes for every episode that we do, and you can go leave comments there. A reminder, you can support this show by chucking your money our way at patreon.com/core show. Every little bit helps. So even if you went over there and said, here's a buck, that'd be amazing. patreon.com/core show. And huge thanks to everybody who already does. Is that it? That's it. Heroesforyou.com. John's on Twitter. You can find him at John_Jagger. I'm at Scott Johnson. Bo is at Bo Schwartz. And you can find the show at Core Show. No, I'm sorry, Core Heroes. How long have I been doing this? Core Heroes is the deal. So use that. Use it often. Have a great week. We'll see you guys next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Let's submit this one to the podcast award. This is a winner.
Let's see how many votes we get for this one.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.